This is Nathan, and Nathan's going to be preaching the word this morning, so let's give him a hand. Father, I pray that as Nathan shares the word, I thank you for what you're doing already in this meeting, and we know that this is a continuation of that. Just have your way, Jesus, we pray in your precious name. Amen.
Great. Well, again, what a privilege and an honor it is to share the word. And again, I always, if I get an opportunity to speak, obviously, it's absolutely by the grace of God that I'm standing up here. So, a privilege and an honor that it is. How many of you, I don't know if people want to say this, but I'm going to get you guys to do it anyway. How many of you guys have Facebook? People are kind of hesitantly putting up their hands, yes. Well, I don't know about you guys, whether it's, you know, encourages you or not, but have you noticed on Facebook how it has, a year ago, you were doing this, right? And you see these things, and Megan and I have been seeing those things, and we're like, oh, isn't that cool? That's what we were doing. And what these things, what starts kind of popping up on our Facebook is, about a year ago, it's hard to believe it was already a year ago, but we had an opportunity to go traveling. So we went to India and Nepal, and then we were in different parts of Africa. So when we're on Facebook, these different, you know, images pop up. Oh, you were here in Nepal on this time, and Megan and I were like, wow, that was already a year ago. And then there's parts of us that are sad because, right, that was an amazing opportunity. We, you know, if God gives us an opportunity to go back, right, how blessed we would be to go back. But when I was planning and preparing for this morning, this story, I just felt like this was the story that was going to lead us into what I have to share this morning. So if we could put up, there we go. I'm going to talk to you this morning just quickly about this infamous rhino story. So we had an opportunity in Nepal to go to Bardia National Park. And I don't know about you guys, but Megan and I, we had no clue Nepal had rhinos. We had no clue that they had elephants and they had all this sort of stuff. So we're like, cool, we get to go to this park. And we booked this walking tour. And we were reassured that the 20-year-old, 80-pound boys holding sticks were going to protect us from these 3,000, 4,000-pound creatures. And they assured me, no, this wood is a special type of wood only found here. It's very strong. So, of course, me being a skeptic, I grabbed it and was like, okay, yeah, it's strong, but I don't know if, is that thing going to stop these elephants and all that sort of stuff? And they assured us it would. So they're going through this routine. Okay, if this happens, do this. If this happens, so they get to the rhino and they say, if a rhino comes at us, you have two options, hide behind a tree or go up a tree. That's the two options. So, okay, all right, so we got that. And walking through the jungle, and there was an opportunity where we potentially would see a tiger. So there's this group waiting there for like five hours for this glimpse of this tiger. We're waiting, and our guide says, hey, there's a rhino down the river. Let's see if we can get closer, a better look. So this picture here, it's like our camera's like zoomed to the max, right? So it's far away. So we kind of keep basically bushwhacking commando style, crawling through bushes, pushing, you know, that typical you push a branch out of the way and the next person gets hit in the face. And like, you're just, you know, covered in stuff. We're crawling. Like, we're like, this is awesome, right? We just really feel a part of it. And we keep getting closer and closer and closer. All of a sudden, we get quite close. So the guy goes up into a tree. Okay? Okay. The other guide is with us. So one guide's up the tree, the other guide's beside us. Then, all of a sudden, we hear, like, basically the sound, the best way I can describe it, it's basically like a bus driving through the bush, okay? And we're standing there, and we just hear this crackling, this crunching, this, like, and it's not just this little snap, like, you know, the deer we have here, this little crack. It's like I said, a bus coming through. I look at Megan. I see the guide in the tree. The guide over there is doing nothing. He's standing there. I'm like, okay, I'm taking matters into my own hands. Megan, get over here. And she's looking at me, and I grab her hand. And in the moment, the only tree that I could find was not the best tree. I literally, Megan scampers up. Sorry, this is a bit for the younger kids. I have my hands on her behind, and I'm pushing her up this tree. But again, this tree has bushes all over it. And Megan's face is getting pushed and crabbed through these bushes because I'm fearful. My wife and I are going to die in the bushes of Nepal. And so we get up, and then the guide in the tree turns. Are you guys okay? Well, no, like you're supposed to be telling us if everything's okay. And so we scamper down after a minute or two, and the guide's really confused, like, what happened? And we're both looking like, well, why, like, you didn't reassure us. You didn't say anything, right? Like, we were just kind of caught in limbo. And this morning, to transition into the scripture, is we couldn't see the rhino, right? We were in the thick of the bush. And at that moment, for us, seeing was believing, right? We couldn't see it. We didn't know where that rhino was coming. And for us, it sounded like that thing was going to just come at us. It was, feet away, and it was going to trample us to death. But the guide was up in the tree, and the guide could see the rhino and knew that everything was fine. We have to admit this. The rhino was actually running the opposite way. So the guide didn't understand why we were, making this big deal. It was actually going the other way. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at a piece of scripture where we're going to look at the practical side of things, the seeing is believing side of scripture this morning. And so this conversation with Thomas, John 20, 24 to 29. Nobody said ooh or ah with all the graphics that I had. Conversation with Jesus. So we're talking about Thomas this morning. And I first off just want to plant this little seed. How many of us know him as Doubting Thomas? When I thought, hey, Nate, you're going to share on this, I was like, Doubting Thomas. But the more and more I look at it, and I just want to plant that seed, think about this, Doubting Thomas. Why do we know him like this? Is that really how we should see him? I just want to quickly summarize a couple of verses that are happening before this. Verses 19 to 23. And this is that situation where the disciples are in a room. They've locked the doors. They are scared for their lives because Jesus is dead. The Savior, the person that they followed around, the person that they've put everything on is dead. And now, who knows what's going to happen to them? They don't know. And so they're scared and they're locked in this room. And maybe many of you know that the next few things that happen. What happens is Jesus comes into the room. Not through the door, but he comes into the room. And what does he say, this famous words that he says? Peace be with you. Again, maybe because they were so scared that Jesus is in the room. But I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. That definitely is one of them. But this idea that Jesus is the only one that can give us peace, right? When we search on it in our own, right? I'm sure many of us have been there where we try this peace of the world and it doesn't work, right? A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I was emceeing kind of the 180, and I put this scene of this spa, and this person, oh, how peaceful it is in the spa, and I talked to the kids and I said, is that real peace? It lasts for just a moment. Then when we get back to life and we look at our calendar and the kids and this, well, the peace goes out the window and we kind of like, man, I wish I was back at the spa, right? But Jesus is the one who brings peace. And how significant this phrase is to the disciples at that time, and obviously how significant it is to us. Here's my first point that I want to piece together is Jesus meets us where we are at. How amazing is God this morning that he's meeting us where we're at in so many different ways? And that point, again, just kept coming back to me. Verse 24 says, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, this is, I don't want to try to kind of get away from, I want to mention it because I think it's interesting, but John, obviously there was some reason, why did John mention that? that Thomas wasn't there in the first encounter. There's something important there, but it doesn't tell us in Scripture. So for me, the wheels were turning. Why was Thomas not there? Why did John tell us? There's obviously an important reason for Thomas not being there, but we don't know. So again, Scripture doesn't tell us, but it could be lots of different ways. And I'm going to obviously unpack some of those things this morning. I'm going to back up just a little bit in Scripture to John chapter 11. So you just got to we're just going to take a little detour for a second. John chapter 11. Quickly just recap what's happening in John chapter 11 is Lazarus is dead, right? There's that encounter with the disciples where Lazarus has died. And what happens is Jesus wants to go back, okay? He wants to go back to Lazarus. And if you remember, the disciples say, we're not going back. We don't want to go back. Jesus, that's not a good idea. Why didn't they want to go back? Because they almost stoned Jesus to death the last time he was in that area. So they're frightened. They're scared. Jesus, we don't want you to go back. Bad things could happen to us. Bad things could happen to you. We don't want to go back there. Okay? So that's kind of what's happening in this just brief example that I'm giving. Then an interesting thing happens. Chapter 11, verse 16. So Thomas called the twin. I never really found out why they call him the twin. I tried to, that's an interesting thing, but that's another time. Said to his fellow disciples, let us go that, so this is Thomas speaking, let us go that we may die with him. Interesting. Is that somebody who is a doubting Thomas? And when I went through that, I was like, I had forgot about that. I had forgot that there's other parts of Scripture that Thomas comes up. And that's one of them. Let's go. I have faith. Let's go. Maybe that's something that's happening in this scenario, right? And what we see is Thomas experiencing that situation. And there's that famous line where Jesus says, I'm glad you that Lazarus dies, so now you can see what's going to happen. And so those disciples experience and see Lazarus come to life. And Jesus says, that's a good thing that you were there. And so Lazarus is a part of that. So now, let's go back to verses 24. Thomas wasn't with them. Maybe he's so distraught. Jesus, the one that's saved lives, the one that's healed people, I've seen all these things, is dead. If he's dead, now what? He's in the he's depths of despair. Maybe there's possibility that that's maybe why he wasn't there. He was doing things on his own. Maybe he was saying, I can't deal with this sort of thing. And he was, right? Again, the Scripture doesn't tell us. It's just some thoughts that I was having. Kind of goes back to Mark preaching when Jesus was writing in the sand. We don't know what he wrote. Scripture doesn't tell us. So, right, my human mind, what maybe happened there? But I feel like Thomas, right, this has rocked his world. Jesus is dead. Lazarus lived. How come Jesus died? Right? This practical piece of Thomas, the step-by-step kind of thought process with Thomas, we're starting to see it. Verses 25. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless, how many times have we used that maybe in our own lives? Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Wow. Talk about commitment. It's not maybe, possibly, it's never, unless. Those are some strong words from Thomas. But can you think of times in your life where maybe you've done that? I know I've done that. Unless God, I'm out looking at the stars. Unless you twinkle a star, I don't believe you're real. I don't know, whatever. Right? Or, unless this happens, God, I don't believe. And these unlesses, these kind of putting our foots down. And Thomas is battling with this. Maybe it's the other way, right? Where that reminds you, God, unless, and then God's come through, right? We've given those unlesses where we put our foot down and God's healed us. He's answered prayer. Even at the low points when we needed mercy, God came. We're in a hole and God gave us his hand and pulled us out of that through his mercy, through his grace. So these are some of the things that are happening with Thomas. But again, Jesus meets us where we're at. I was thinking about scripture, the endless stories where Jesus met people where they're at. Moses, he's out in the middle of the desert, the burning bush. He meets him where he's at. Think of Peter when he's fishing, Jesus meets him where he's at. When Jesus healed people countless times, he met them where they were at. There's countless stories. This shows us, right, there's things in our lives that can make us question. But God is so gracious and he meets us where we're at. So Thomas may be in that spot. Right? This disbelief, this I'm not sure what's going on. These unless. It's a point to ponder, right? Are we here this morning having these unlesses in our lives? I believe God wants to obviously bring us through that this morning. This points to Thomas again being this realist, right? Well, you're telling me, but I'm not seeing it, right? Jesus, if you're going to go, I'm going to go, right? Maybe some of you this morning, right, can relate to that. Verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." It was only 8 days later, right? That stuck out to me how gracious God is in this story that we have this morning. Again, this idea that they're not at peace. Thomas isn't at peace. But Jesus, again, is proclaiming his peace over them. Right? Thomas now is finally with the other disciples. He's in the room with them. And so now he gets to experience the joy of seeing Jesus soon as we will read. So again, what was going on in Thomas's life those 8 days? Right? I can only imagine how sad he was, how he wasn't sure, like, my life was going this way, but now it's going this way, and he's dealing with all these things. But now, again, he's taking that step, and he's with the disciples. How good is it, right? I'm sure we've been there, right? When we, you know, when we're in that place where we're struggling with things, and we do it on our own. But how gracious God is that he puts us in a family. We're starting to see that. The second point transforms information into revelation. And I know we use that a lot at Oceanside once you start coming in our family. I know we know that a lot. And Megan was trying to help me. I was like trying to wordsmith the heck out of it and like different ways of coming, explaining the same thing with different words. But when we came down to it, it was like, this is the best way to describe what's happening here. So it transforms information into revelation. So we're going to see that starting in verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, so we have this encounter with Jesus now. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Jesus has a way of making heavenly, spiritual things make sense. This idea of information into revelation, right? I almost like this idea of Christianity for dummies. Right? Where I've been there so many times, right? Where there's these things where God, this spiritual talk and you're reading through some of Paul's letter and you're like, wow, like Paul's just up here and I'm down here, and Lord. But Jesus has a way of bringing those things into words that make sense to us. And we see a beautiful example of this is how Jesus encounters Thomas, how he, these words, these things that he's going through, Jesus has a way of bringing that information into revelation. He's encountering Thomas. And how amazing was it this morning that Jesus, that God is encountering us, that he wants to encounter you, he wants to encounter me. I really felt that this while I was going through this. Jesus wants to encounter each of us. And this morning he was doing that all over the place. This line of stop becoming an unbeliever and become a believer. The ESV translate that pretty much literal. There's no kind of way. Don't be an unbeliever, but believe. Thomas, hey, I'm here. I'm in front of you. Put that behind you. Let's believe. I'm alive. Stop unbelieving, right? Is Jesus saying that to you this morning? Saying that to me this morning? Are there things in our lives that we're, God, I need faith for that. And Jesus is saying, believe. Jesus knows us so personally. He knew exactly what Thomas said, right? He repeats exactly what Thomas said. I can just imagine that as well. How Thomas is there, and Jesus just repeats it. And Thomas just getting it like, wow, Jesus knows me. Jesus knows each and every one of you. He knows you individually. Let's help that encourage you this morning. He knows you. Just as we see here, he knew Thomas. Yet it says nothing in Scripture about Thomas physically touching Jesus. Unless I do that or unless I do this, I'm not going to believe. Well, guess what, Thomas? Jesus showed up, and now you can imagine him standing there. I don't need to do that anymore, right? Jesus has encountered him in an amazing way. That unless statement absolutely fades away. It's not important anymore. Jesus is in front of me. Thomas's response is one of the highest responses we see in all of Scripture, in the Gospels, I should say. I'm not sure if we really think about that, because we say that, Lord is God. We just, you know, it comes off our tongue like this or that. But let's take a quick, again, about history. That was absolute blasphemy for a Jew, what Thomas just said. He was saying that Jesus, you and God, you're equal, you're co, all those sort of things. That was absolute blasphemy. And I think sometimes we forget that because we use those words so often. For us, it maybe the meaning is not, it's not as strong, right? But for Thomas, that was huge. Not only for Thomas, but some of the commentaries, the things that I was reading, this is man's ideas, but they were saying, we believe this is the pinnacle of the book of John. And I was like, whoa. And it really made me think about it. How amazing those words were from Thomas. That Lord is God. Unless you do this, those statements are absolutely gone. Right? How amazing also is it in the Scripture, right? I don't know who put it, but there's an exclamation mark. It wasn't just like, Lord, my God, and he was towering. Like, he was overjoyed. He was excited. He was like, I was over here, like, ready to give up, maybe, possibly. I know Scripture doesn't say that, but maybe he was ready to, like, to pack it all in, and now God's here, and, like, my life has this whole new meaning again. Right? How many times has God done that to us? I know, right? He's just picked us up. He's encouraged us. And let's not forget, right, those times where God has brought us to that place where we're just like, Lord, our God. We're excited. This morning, there's many of us excited. God, what you're doing in my life. I was here, and you're just drawing me closer to you. Let's let that soak in this morning. Lord, my God. How significant that phrase is. When you go home with your families, remind them. Remind each other about Lord being God, Lord of our lives. It definitely, obviously meant a lot to Thomas at that point. And this highest peak of this part of the scripture, of him just declaring that, and the disciples witnessing this encounter. Number three, an encounter with Jesus has a lasting effect. I just added on verses 30 and 31 because I think it's really, it's amazing how this piece comes after this story. And it says this in verse 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. I think it's so key and so important how John put this in after the story of Thomas. He's drawing us to see these things. Believe, church. Believe when you read these words. There is multiple other things that I could have put in, but I didn't, because these things should draw us to Jesus. Believe. Read these miracles. Believe them. See people healed. See people set free. Believe. Who is that? There was, maybe AJ can help me out. Wasn't it? There was a preacher that just said, believe. Just believe for like 45 minutes. Maybe I should have done that. Just believe. Just believe. For 45. But again, this morning, the scripture is saying, draw your attention to this. Believe in these things. Help it encourage you. Believing is at the heart of John's gospel. We see it throughout. This story is in a perfect spot within the scriptures to remind us of the things that God is doing. Let these stories help almost, the way I was kind of going to word it was build your faith capacity. Let these stories encourage you. Let it fill up your faith tank. Right? Maybe it's on empty. Let these stories be the spiritual fire that burns inside of you to encourage you. And this morning was a great picture. Congregation, we need to hear what God's doing in your life. We heard lots of what God was doing. We need to hear that. We need the encouragement. It always encourages me when God speaks to others. I'm like, God is moving. Is it sometimes uncomfortable? Oh, I'm nervous. I don't want to stand up in front of... It doesn't seem like it, but I get nervous before I'm standing up here. Because God, right? God is... I want to do what God wants to do. But when people stand up, that always encourages me. It's like, man, God's moving. You know what? If God's saying something to that person, I know God's saying something. And that faith journey of stepping forward. We need to hear from God. And God works through us. It helps us, again, for the faith, the things that we can't see. These stories. Maybe I'm in a job or profession where I haven't seen a lot of this stuff. I haven't seen God maybe move. And somebody comes and says, you know what? I saw this person healed. Right? And it encourages you. These stories. Share those stories. Well, after this is all said and done, gone through this, now what? There's four things that I really want you guys to take away from this morning. And one of them is, there may be things in your life that have rocked you. Just like Thomas. There may be things right now that are hard to deal with. That are things that you couldn't possibly imagine would have happened. But Jesus is looking to encounter you in the midst of that, because he's loving and his grace is there. He wants to meet you where you're at. And I can't imagine. There's things that people that are going in your life that I can't imagine, and it's hard. And I understand that. I'm not trying to give you Christian answers. It'll be okay. The only thing I can say is that Jesus will be with you. Our family will be with you. Let's not be like Thomas's early example, or maybe possibly he was doing things on his own, right? Let God come to you in those spots. The second part, God wants to meet you where you're at. Whether it's us as a church or individually or as a family. Right when Thomas needed Jesus the most, Jesus met him where he's at. Countless, again, I mentioned that, countless scriptures and stories where God met them where they were at. God wants to meet you where you're at. He's loving. His grace meets us where we're at. Number three, an encounter with Jesus has a lasting effect. How often have we had an encounter and it just, right? We have a jump in our step for months, for weeks, for years. I know there's been lots of things in my life where it's just like, wow, that has had a lasting effect. Whether it's a story from somebody else where God has healed them or set them free or encouraged them. And I've been reminded of that. So when we have an encounter with Jesus, it has a lasting effect. Far better than anything this world can offer. Number four. Allow Jesus to dispel doubt in your life. The overall kind of idea that I kept having when I was going through this was that an encounter with Jesus dispels doubt. So this morning, let's allow God to take us deeper. Let's allow God to come in, and wash away that doubt. And we've seen a lot of it this morning. That God is there to dispel doubt in your life. So this morning, there may be something that God's speaking to you through the worship, through the word of God. Let's allow God to encounter you this morning.